Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Radha Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Janaranjana. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Gaura Nityai, Jaya Gaura Nityai, Gaura Nityai, Jaya Gaura Nityai. Jaya Gaura Nityai, Gaura Nityai, Gaura Nityai, Jaya Gaura Nityai. Jaya Gaura Nityai, Gaura Nityai, Gaura Nityai, Jaya Gaura Nityai. Jaya Gaura Nityai, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva, Guru Deva, Srila Guru Deva. Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva. Namah Om Vishwanath Krishna Sarvatraya Shrimati Namah Krishna Goswami Nisi Namane Namah Om Vishwanath Krishna Sarvatraya Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nisi Namane Jai Hare Krishna to all attending here in the temple room and everyone remote. Thank you for listening in. Give me your blessings. We are reading from the 11th canto. Text 24. This is Canto 11, Chapter 21, Text 24 of the Uddhava Gita, continuing with the Uddhava Gita. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Utpaya Vahi Kameshu Praneshu Jvajaneshu Cha Akshata Manaso Mritam Atmano Nata Hetushu Upatyaiva. We can do in unison if you like. Upatyaiva hiya kamshu. Praneshu svajaneshu cha. Akshaktya manaso mritya. Atmano nata hetusa. Utpachai vahi kameshu. Praneshu svajaneshu cha. Akshakta manaso mrityam. Atmano nata hetsutu. Word for word. Utpatya eva, simply, by birth, he, indeed, kameshu, in objects of selfish desires, praneshu, in vital functions, such as one's duration of life, senses, sense activities, physical strength and sexual potency. Svageneshu, in his family members, cha, and ashaktya manasa, having become attached within the mind. Mortal human beings, mortal human beings, atmana of their real self, anartha of defeating the purpose, hetushu, which are the causes. Translation and purport by the loving devotees of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada. Simply by material birth, human beings become attached within their minds to personal sense gratification, long duration of life, sense activities, bodily strength, sexual potency, and friends and family. Their minds are absorbed in that which defeats their actual self-interest. Purport. Our advancement to the our attachment to the material body and to bodies of family and friends inevitably leads to unbearable anxiety and suffering. The mind absorbed in the bodily concept of life cannot possibly advance in self-realization, and thus one's hope for an eternal life of bliss and knowledge is defeated by the objects of one's so-called affection. Activities performed in ignorance are beneficial neither for oneself nor others. Activities performed in ignorance are beneficial neither for oneself nor others. Just as charitable activities one may perform in a dream bestow no tangible benefit on real people. The conditioned soul is dreaming of a world separate from God, but any advancement experienced in this dream world is merely hallucination. The Lord states in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, He is the Supreme Enjoyer, the Lord of all planets and worlds. Only by Krishna consciousness, recognition of the supremacy of God, can one make actual progress in life. Om Gyana Timananda Shaganjana Shalakaya Chakshunimitam Jaina Tajmai Shri Venya. Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Vipakadamayam Panatikam Bhantikam. Hare Krishna. Again, the translation, simply by material birth, human beings become attached within their minds to personal sense gratification, long duration of life, sense activities, bodily strength, sexual potency, and friends and family. Their minds are thus absorbed in that which defeats their actual self-interest. So I made a few notes that I would like to reference. So here we have it quite simply said in this purport that we are entangled in the meshes of material world and material nature. We're trapped by the three modes of material nature. And you can look about you and see how everyone is attached so intensely to personal sense gratification. And the goal, of course, is to transcend sense gratification, to dovetail our senses, which are pulled in every direction, everywhere, constantly, and connect those in devotional service to Krishna. Use our senses. Use our ability, our minds, our hands, our voices in the glorification of the Lord. And so when we look, look about us, how everyone is so absorbed in thinking that they will live forever, that they will never die. You know, I think that the example is given when Yudhisthira and his brothers were touring and they came upon a river and they were asked, a body of water, and they were asked a question, and each one of his brothers before him could not answer the question and they all fell down dead. And then when Yudhisthira Maharaj was asked this question, he said... then the question was, what is the most amazing thing? And he said, the most amazing thing is that if we look about us, everywhere is dying, but somehow or another, we think that we will be eternal, that it will not happen to us. This is the biggest illusion. And so when we look around us, we can see that in this material world, as much as we are trying to enjoy separate for Krishna, there is suffering. It falls upon us, whether we, just as good things come upon us, suffering comes upon us, whether we want it, when we ask for it or not. And this is due to our karma, and it's the nature of the material world. It's described that we have reactions to our sinful karma that we are experiencing in this moment through suffering, through the body, through the mind, through aches and pains, through so many things. And then we have suffering that is lying seed in a seed form within the heart that has not yet fructified. And so we can understand that although we may be trying to enjoy like anything, also separate from Krishna, that Krishna will smash us down one way or another. we can either learn through, excuse me, we can even learn through the through knowledge, through hearing from higher authorities, and hearing from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, hearing from the spiritual master, hearing from reading Srila Prabhupada's books. We can hear, or we learn through the school of hard knocks. Right? We learn one way or another. And unfortunately, sometimes we have to smash our head against the wall several times before we get it. We learn that this is not a place for unlimited sense gratification and for bodily strength, for unbelievable sexual prowess. We were, my husband and I were invited to go to to meet with some friends of ours, Vino and Divya. They wanted to meet with us and speak the other night. And they're sort of living in uptown. And it's not an area that usually if we go out, my husband and I will go and walk at Bright Rock Lake to chant, and it's sort of a sattvic place. I remember we used to walk with Srila Gurudev around that lake many, many times. And so we were in this place uptown, and you could see all of these people and their ladies and their high stiletto shoes, you know, decked out to the nines, practically naked, and men all decked up, walking into this, you know, restaurant. And I saw this, and the first thing I've not been around anything like this in a while, and so I was very, I became very sad, and I looked, and I thought, how sad, how deluded, how covered over, thinking that now I'm young, I can, dress up and wear these high shoes and go into these clubs, and I'm enjoying like anything. And because it was such a covering, so deluded, I felt so sad. And then I thought, oh my gosh, how to reach people like this? Very, very difficult, because in Dallas especially, it's a little different in Denver. It's a little bit more laid back. People are a little bit more awake and aware, it seems, and a little bit maybe more leaning towards the mode of goodness in a sense. But here, materialism and the sense gratification to enjoy like anything seems very alive and well here in Dallas. We went to get some insurance on one of our cars, because we have Denver plates, and so we have to register everything here. And when we were there, we have one of the cars is a little 206 Honda Civic, and so maybe we're $2,000, and then we just recently got a 214 used car. But the man was telling us that insurance is so high here because all the cars are basically between $30,000 and like $85,000 cars everyone's driving around in. And when you look about, you see people driving Mercedes-Benz and, all these spiffy cars. And they think that this is the be-all and end-all. To have the best clothes, to have the most opulent car, to live in the most opulent homes. It's almost a competition. Actually, friends of ours are looking for a home, and they're older now, and they've had some tragedy in their life, and they're asking us what to do, and we're saying, simplify. Simplify now. You're old. I'm old. Keep it simple. Why buy because your friends and neighbors have a, $500,000 home, at, 10,000 square foot home? Do you need this? But people are deluded. They think these things are important. These things will make me happy. All of this personal sense gratification, this status, will make me feel complete. And it's just a real illusion. So I wanted to reference just a few things that I had in connection with this. We should feel greatly blessed because we are, we've been touched by the mercy, the causeless mercy of the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, that somehow or other has awakened us to understand that this is like a dream. He references that in here. This is like a dream. At night, when we dream, we think, Prabhupada gives the example, sometimes you visualize, you have a dream that you're flying, and then you wake up in the morning, bang, and you think, oh, this was just a dream. But actually, everything that we are experiencing is just like a dream. It seems like it's the be-all, end-all. It's the reality for us all. But it's described that it's just like a long dream. And by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, we awaken to realize that we are eternal. We have an eternal relationship with Krishna. And we are beyond this body and this mind and this intelligence even. We're something more. And this is what we look around. No one has, even a young child has, yesterday we were doing the ceremony for the appearance of His Holiness Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. And I was back in the Pujari room helping to make the flowers to offer to Prabhupada. And these young children, Dharma's daughter and two young girls, they came in and they have, completely absorbed themselves in helping to make the flowers, helping to make the artik trays, knowing every single detail. It was just very wonderful to see how these children have been, because of the blessings and the grace of having devotee parents, that they can understand. They can understand that the joy that comes from serving Krishna, from connecting our mind, body, and senses in the service of Krishna. And so there's an we can understand in the Bhagavad Gita 3:26, it's also described, and I was thinking of so many people that we see about us that have no conception of a personal relationship with God. They either have no desire to understand that there is a Supreme Lord, that God even exists. That expression for so long was God is dead. You saw it on the front pages of Time magazine at one point. So there's no real conception of a personal aspect of the Supreme Lord. Even many yoga groups that I, was preaching to and connecting with in Denver, they're all very sattvic and wonderful in many ways, but their concept basically is, an impersonal one in most of the time, that they don't grasp that there is a personal relationship. Even though we have personal relationships, we have loving exchanges as friends, as parent to child, as, as lovers, husband and wife in a conjugal sense. We all have in this material world love relationships. And in this community, we see how these loving relationships are so alive and so well. When a joyous event takes place, you know, a celebration for birth, everyone gets together, makes prasadam, serves all the devotees. And when some tragedy hits, like this little experience with Bella, who's Jayanti and Rupanuga's daughter, who has been, you know, suffering and is in the hospital. And the prayers that are pouring forth are just, you know, heartfelt, the love that's coming forth, the prayers for this little child, the whole community, people from Houston all coming together and praying for this little one. So this is what relationships are really about. And then we are all connected through the parampara, through the spiritual master, and through the mercy of Radhakala Chanji, to understand that we, the key is to engage in personal relationships, to have loving exchanges here and now between each other, because that is exactly what's going on in the spiritual world. So we have to develop these wonderful relationships beyond sense gratification, beyond the idea that I can live forever, I'm immortal. No, life is very short, so there's an urgency. There has to be an urgency to think, now is the time, because we never know when calamities will come. And Queen Kunti prays, let the calamities come again and again, because in those calamities, Krishna, I remember you. Sometimes when everything is going wonderful and fine, as we saw the other day when we were, you know, meeting with these friends, you know, they think life is just beautiful, you know, we're going to these fabulous clubs, we're dressed up to the nines, everything's good. But it isn't good. And in any moment, tragedy can come. And so we have to be prepared for that. We have to dive deep into the philosophy, read Prabhupada's books, chant with, prayfully chant to awaken our eternal relationship with Krishna. And so, you know, I was thinking about, when I saw these kids, these young people all dressed up, there's the verse in Karma Yoga that says, so as not to disrupt the minds of the ignorant, attached to fruitive activities of prescribed duties, a learned person should not induce them to stop. Rather, working in the spirit of devotion, he should engage them in all sorts of activities for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness. So the first sentence of that purport is Vadaischa Sarva Eva Vedyam Eva Vedya, and that is from chapter 15, which over and over again says that by all the Vedas, Krishna says, I am to be known. Indeed, I'm the compiler of the Vedas and I'm the knower of the Vedas. So this is Krishna, Stu Bhagavan Swayam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the Upanishads, the Lord is celebrated by the performance of Vedic rituals, philosophy, or worship. So by knowledge, by the yoga process, and by bhakti, all paths can lead to Krishna. But of all the paths, when Arjuna asks Krishna, what is best, the impersonal or the personal aspect of the Supreme Lord? Krishna says, the best is to worship me with love and devotion, that I'm the compiler of the Vedas, I'm the end and be all, I'm the beginning, the middle, and the end. And so we have to embrace this beautiful philosophy that's been given to us, and strive with great determination to engage in the process of Krishna consciousness, fighting our minds, because we are in a marginal position. So sometimes we may be inclined to dive in and engage in devotional service, and sometimes we may be inclined to dive in and try to enjoy like anything in this material world. We're marginal. And so we can only understand that it's called chewing, like it's chewing the chewed, isn't it? Trying to enjoy like anything and realizing that there's no juice, there's no taste anymore. Once you begin to chant Hare Krishna, once you begin to worship Prabhupada like Maria does so many mornings so beautifully, once you engage in deity seva, sweeping the floor for Krishna, whatever service you may do, and the most important is chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We realize the futility of engaging. We lose our taste, even though we may want to enjoy, even when we think we may want to go out and enjoy in the material world. Once you begin to chant Hare Krishna and follow the regulative principles passed down by the spiritual master given to us and engage in devotional service, that taste, you just can't get no satisfaction. Like the song says, I just can't get no satisfaction. I try and I try and I try, right? But I can't get no satisfaction. Just like about Ravana, you know, he wanted to be the Supreme Lord. He wanted to be worshipped as the Supreme Lord. He wanted to build a stairway to heaven. Just like Led Zeppelin sang that tune, we're building a stairway to heaven. But, you know, and I was reading the other day how there are companies in Japan that are spending, you know, trillions of dollars to build an elevator up to the, higher dimensions beyond the, Mother Earth and the atmosphere of the Mother Earth that's supposed to be, enable, spaceships and everything to, go much easier and more economic and so forth. And, imagine this. It's the same thing. What a waste. What a waste of trillions and trillions of taxpayer dollars also to invest in something like this, to build an elevator to go up out of the Earth atmosphere up into space. It seems absurd. But these are the things that go on, and these are the things that distract us and take us away from the vital importance of remembering Krishna, of becoming Krishna conscious, of reviving our original dormant love for Krishna within our hearts. And so it is quite lamentable when you read these things and in the news and so forth. There's something in the Nectar of Devotion that I wanted to reference. It was on page 114. Let me see if I can find that. And so we're talking about how everyone is striving, and especially it's described in the Vedas that so many, and in the Bhagavad Gita it also describes that people strive to worship the demigods because they want to live in opulence, and they want to go into the heavenly planets where sense gratification here is insignificant compared to that which is in the heavenly planets. And so, of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, this is described to be for less intelligent people that are deluded, thinking that by performing so many ritualistic activities, that they will, so many yajnas, so many sacrifices, that they will be able to go into the heavenly planets to enjoy like anything. And it's interesting, in the Nectar of Devotion, this is also in the Uddhava Gita, a little further on, it's the 20th chapter, verse 22 and 23, Lord Krishna further instructs Uddhava. He says, My dear friend, the profits derived from fruitive activities, austerities, the culture of philosophical knowledge and renunciation, the practice of mystic yoga, charity of all similar auspicious activities are automatically achieved by my devotees. Those who are simply attached to me by loving service. These devotees have everything at their disposal, but they desire nothing outside my devotional service. Even if a devotee should desire some material profit, like promotion to the heavenly planets or some spiritual profit, to go to the Vaikuntha, by my causeless mercy, his desires are very easily fulfilled. So Krishna is saying, simply surrender to me, and all of your desires can be fulfilled. It's interesting that what is being addressed here in this purport and what is the goal of so many. If you listen to some of these Christian radio stations, they're talking about, if you serve God, then you'll get millions and millions and you'll become wealthy and you'll have the best car and on. This is the idea. Just pray to God to get these things. And so, here in the 22nd and 23rd chapter, Krishna is saying that you don't have to worship the demigods to achieve any of these things. He can fulfill everything in the heart's desires. However, it also states that the devotees, they don't approach Krishna for these things. They don't really desire any of these things. They're so full and joyful in the process of Krishna consciousness, as it says here. Actually, a person who's developing Krishna consciousness still has some attachment to material enjoyment, and he'll soon be freed from such a tendency by regularly discharging devotional service under the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master. So although Krishna is stating that all of these things are available through him by his causeless mercy, the devotees don't pray for these things, really. They don't go before the deity and say, give me material opulence. Let me, achieve mukti or liberation. Their prayer, anyway, my prayer is to please help me to become purified in my heart. Help me purify my mind. Help me to become a servant of the servant of the servant. Help me to hear your holy name with deep attention and love. This is the prayer that we should be praying for, not for really not for anything else. We should pray and we should serve. We should serve with love and appreciate the blessing that we have to be surrounded by so many exalted and wonderful devotees, and to enliven us and to keep us straight on the path, because without that, it's very difficult, isn't it? To try to be alone and separate and chant Hare Krishna, be separate from the association of the devotees. It's not as sweet as when you're together chanting and hearing. It's so nice when you come into the temple and together, the example is given that there's sticks and together, all of them tied together, it's very difficult to break. Prabhupada gave that example many times. So when we're all coming together, life is busy, life is busy. We're all busy, We have so many things that we're engaged in all day long, but somehow or another, if we all make a commitment to come together, it gives us so much satisfaction to see all the devotees together chanting, worshiping Prabhupada, singing before the deities. So we have to strive to associate more with each other, to appreciate more with each other, and to understand that the goal of life for all of us isn't unlimited accumulation of so many things. Simple living. It's actually simple. You know, we have for many years, I go into different homes and they have so much collections and so much stuff. And we've always just kept it really simple. And it's easier on the consciousness and it's easier on the mind, and it creates a more sattvic environment to worship your deities at home, take care of your service in a peaceful mind. So, in closing, I'd just like to say that we should all pray to the spiritual master to keep me fixed in devotional service. Where some of you are very young, and life can be very long, and there can be deviations along the way. But please keep me fixed. Please keep me in the association of devotees, because in this way, all the distractions of the material world stay at bay. They stay at bay. So I have an appointment, so I can't stay very long, but if anyone has any comments or questions on this verse, I'll read it again. Simply, by material birth, human beings become attached to their minds and personal sense gratification. This is the dilemma. We're born in this material world and we become attached. And the mind is the strongest of the six senses. It's a sixth sense is described. So it starts in the mind, feeling, willing, thinking, and then we act on everything and we become totally entangled. So, long duration of life, sense activities, bodily strength, sexual potency, friends and family, their minds absorbed, which defeats their self-interest. Yes, it completely puts water, it drowns the Bhakti Lata Beach when we forget Krishna. So, anyone has a comment? Question? I'm old. It is very easy to be pulled away. So that question, I remember, was asked by a spiritual master in a class, and it was asked by some students that were kind of asking the same question. We get up, we go to school, we go to college, and we're surrounded by academia, and nothing seems to be related to Krishna. And my spiritual master said, everything is related to Krishna. It's just a matter of our consciousness. Everything is Krishna. So when we see it separate from Krishna, that's when we become bewildered and lost and confused. So the desire to have a family and to have a home and to have a car, this in itself isn't Maya. It's what are you going to do with those things once you get them? You can see in this community, it's a grihastha community. That's what my Gurudev started. That's what he inherited in this community. And that's what he traveling with Radha Damodar, being a sannyasi, distributing books so many years. And he inherited this community. And it was glorious for him. And so in this community, you can see devotees that have homes. They have cars. They have children. Many of them go to work, and that's why a lot of devotees can come in the morning, because they have to chant their rounds. They take care of their children, and then they go off to their work. But you can see that the consciousness of all of the devotees in this community, they're all very Krishna conscious, and just like you, even though they're working. And they have so many responsibilities in their life. They're coming. They're worshiping the deity, just like you're coming and you're rendering this service to Prabhupada. It's remember that throughout the day when you're at the airport or when you're engaged in your business. Remember and pray. Please let me remember you Let me keep you close and tight, because it is, I need this, and the chanting of your, of the Hare Krishna mantra, following that vrat to chant your rounds. It's like a kavacha. It's sort of like a shield that keeps everything at bay. You see it all happening, but you're a little bit aloof, because you're developing you're putting all your pennies into your spiritual bank account, and it fills up. So I don't think that it's natural also for a woman to want to have a family and to be nicely situated. And actually that's excellent for spiritual life, to have a nice Krishna conscious household. And you can see all around in this community that's what's going. So that's not an adverse desire. You just have to connect everything with Krishna. That's my realization. And in your home, when you get your home, you'll have some nice deities that you'll be able to worship. And they will be the proprietor, the owner of the house. So you're thinking, wow, I have to make sure this space is very clean, and I want to cook very nicely and offer it to my deities. And in this way, throughout our life, you're young, and it's like a thread. We go through so many different stages in our spiritual life and growth. And as you get older, it becomes more of an impetus. Let me really fix my mind now. Let me engage my heart and soul in service. So it's not an adverse thing. Household of life is glorious, actually, when you connect Krishna with your life. And when you're at your work, remember the service you're doing. It's beautiful, Maria. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jai. Vanchakalpatri Vishya Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Udva Gita Ki Jai.